Hi, Alex.
Good afternoon, Steve.
Good afternoon. You know, what I would like to talk about today is, do you know what the doldrums are?
I do not, no.
Well, the doldrums, apparently that's sort of if you're in the middle of the Pacific Ocean in a sailboat and there's just no wind. You know, you got the trade winds, and when they're blowing in one direction or the other, and I remember this from my high school geography or elementary school, but the doldrums is when there's no wind blowing. So you can imagine in the days of sailboats, if the only thing you have moving you forward is wind, and there's no wind, you aren't going anywhere. And people talk about, I've got the doldrums. Maybe that's not used so much nowadays. There's all kinds of words, modern words that I don't know. But anyway, I want to talk about the doldrums when it comes to language learning. And the reason for that is, I had a chat this morning with Angela, who is known as AB77, I think. And I think she's doing great in her Spanish, but she was saying, well, you know, I feel I'm not making any progress and I'm not as fluent as I was like to be and blah, blah, blah. This is quite a common complaint or feeling that language learners have. Have you had that feeling? And if so, how do you deal with it?
I would say that absolutely I've had that feeling. First off, with French, when I was in high school, I learned French. And I felt that I took 4 years of French and didn't learn very much. And I felt, you know, I'm just wasting a lot of time because year after year, it doesn't seem like I'm getting much better. But I would say even recently with Korean, for instance, I feel like, or I've had moments where I feel like I'm not progressing. I'm not making much progress. I've already spent 4 years learning it and I'm not getting too far. You know, like it seems like I've hit a plateau. But one of the ways that I deal with it is, I think something that people hate to do but is very valuable is to record themselves either speaking or doing a video of themselves at some point in their language learning in that language and watching it 3 months later, 6 months later, or something like that. Because I think it's very difficult to kind of feel these small improvements that you're making. But if you look back a significant amount of time, you can see, wow, you know, I really have improved since 3 months ago, even though it doesn't feel like it.
Okay, now the only thing I would say in that regard, first of all, I agree with you. I think that YouTube, and even if you keep it private, to record yourself speaking in the language that you're learning is a tremendously useful thing to do. It's amazing how it sharpens your mind. And so the first time you do it, you end up having to do it quite a few times because you mess up. But then you finally do one. Okay, this is me after 3 months. It's like baby pictures, right? This is me after 6 months. This is me after a year. And I think it is a good record of your progress. However, what I have found was that when we speak, when we make a video, we tend to use a limited number of words, the words that we're very comfortable using. And so if I look at the video that I did after 6 months versus a video that I might have done after 2 years, I don't see a big difference. The pronunciation is a little bit smoother, the flow is a little bit smoother, but I was kind of disappointed. In fact, I had the reaction, gee, I did pretty well after 6 months, but now it's been 4 years and I really haven't improved that much. Now, of course, I know that I can read things now with no trouble that I couldn't read even 2 years ago. And I understand so much better when I listen to audiobooks or radio. But it is an unfortunate fact in language learning that we make the greatest deal of progress in the first 6 months. And that we go from like nothing to actually being able to communicate something and understand something. And we have a sense of the language now. And that the remaining period is a gradual, it's a long-term struggle.
It's absolutely a long haul.
It's a protracted war. It's a long haul. So, yeah. And how do you then encourage people? Do you feel right now that your Korean has hit a plateau?
Not at all. I would say one of the things that I've noticed is, I mean, yeah, I talk about recording yourself speaking or whatever, but I think in the same vein, you can do this with other areas such as reading and such as listening. And another thing that I would suggest that I've done is I've gotten a Korean movie and I've watched it all the way through. And about 6 months later, like 9 months later or something, I watched the same movie again.
Mm-hmm.
And I was amazed at how much more I understood.
Absolutely. The same with me. I've had that experience with my Russian movies. Yeah. The comprehension is way up.
And I was like, the second time I watched it, I was like, wow, like there's so much that just went way over my head the first time I watched it.
It's as if that dialogue wasn't even in the movie then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
You weren't even conscious of it even being there. Like, you watched the movie and understood it at a certain level.
Yeah.
And then you watch the movie 9 months later and you understand it at a whole different level.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. I often believe that movies are like the reward.
Mm-hmm.
Like, some people treat movies as a language learning tool, medium. I don't, because I tend to spend most of my learning time just listening while doing other stuff.
Right.
Movie means I'm going to sit down and I'm stuck there for 2 hours or whatever. However, it is fun.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, it's a reward. And it's a particular reward if you do it like you've just described. Mm-hmm. You know, you say 6 months later, watch the movie again, and you realize just how much more you can understand.
Mm-hmm.
But Angela's complaint was not so much. She admitted that she understands more, but she just felt that she's not as fluent as she would like to be.
Yeah.
Which we all feel, because we're never going to be as fluent as basically, we would like to be.
Basically. I mean, the thing is, like, yesterday I tried recording a video in Korean, and about, you know, 3 or 4 minutes in, I'm like, oh, I'm not really satisfied. You know, I feel like I'm rambling. I'm not really focused. I could do better, but I think it's always this thing of we feel like we're bad at it and that in the future we'll get better. But, I mean, there are a lot of people who are not very good at things, and the fact of the matter is the more you do it, the better you're going to get. And that's just the way it is.
Right. And I'm sure, well, I can't speak for Angela, but if she met someone who spoke Spanish as well as she does, she'd be impressed.
Yeah, absolutely.
But because it's herself, you know, I feel when I meet people who speak another language, even moderately well, I'm always impressed. Like, I'm impressed. I mean, I appreciate the amount of effort that they've had to go through to achieve that level. But that person may feel not satisfied because they're not as good as they would like to be. So, I mean, like, there's no question. Like, I know that, say in Japanese and French, which are my two best languages, I have no trouble. Like, I'm comfortable. I don't even think about it. It's done. That's all, that's in the bag. That's in history. But in all the other languages where I do claim to be fluent or fairly fluent or quite fluent, there are always moments when I struggle. When I end up kind of getting tongue-tied because I couldn't quite express what I wanted to express. And I know that all kinds of mistakes are flying out there, you know. But if I worried about it for every one of the languages that I speak, well, I would really be tongue-tied. I wouldn't I wouldn't speak them at all.
Yeah.
And it's only by speaking them, you know, that we really improve in speaking. I mean, obviously, we can improve our comprehension by listening and reading, by increasing our vocabulary, but ultimately, speaking is a specific skill.
Right.
So at some point, you got to speak a lot.
Yeah.
So I'm sure when you went to Korea, you were there for a month, your speaking took a great...
Oh, yeah. I mean, I did about less than a weekend, I did an interview with the guys that talked to me in Korean.
I saw that,
And what I was saying there was, basically, if we would have had this conversation 2 or 3 weeks ago, like, I wouldn't have sounded anything like this.
Right.
Because it was the fact that I was speaking every day,
right,
that I was completely immersed in the language, using it constantly, that then brought my speaking back up to, you know, the
exactly. Level. And I think you, when you have one of these step ups, you never lose it, I don't think. Because I think what it does, there's such an intense language experience. Like, I visualize these neural connections sort of being welded then, you know, there's this heat, there's this intense heat that causes certain connections to form, and it becomes a permanent step up. You don't lose that.
Right.
You might get a little rusty. And so ultimately, you have to go there, I think. In fact, it raises an interesting point that I was asked on my YouTube channel, asked me to do a video on this, and that is, at what point should you go to the country, you know, where the language is spoken? And, of course, as we know, there's the one extreme, those people who think you should, like, start off by going there.
Yeah.
And I think that would be a mistake. Because you could not achieve that intensity of language exchange. You would still be behind the eight ball.
Yeah.
You'd still be, in fact, back listening and reading and trying to put, you know, learn a few words.
Yeah.
But when you are at least, going back to Angela's case, if Angela had the opportunity to go to Mexico or Honduras or Spain or somewhere for 2 months, and from morning to night she was with native speakers, they were mm-hmm. on a project, they were doing something together, I mean, she'd come away from that. She would be now ready. She'd yeah. be, you know, almost where my French and Japanese. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I lived in France for 3 years. I lived in Japan for nine. Mm-hmm. So she wouldn't be at that level. Mm-hmm. But she would take a major step forward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think, I mean, just to, I guess, wrap it up, I think one of the things that basically we talked about is, you said yourself, if you see someone else who's good in a language, even if they're not as good as you, you're impressed. You say, right. wow, they've done a good job. And yeah. I think putting ourselves in other people's shoes and seeing it from an outsider's perspective, mm-hmm. it doesn't have that then pressure on ourselves. You know, right. we tend to be the hardest on ourselves. And, you know, we set these goals for ourselves. And when we don't reach them, you know, we're just ruthless. But if we look at it from an outsider's perspective, like, it really changes the focus of it. And it doesn't make it this kind of pessimistic, I'm not improving, I'm not doing anything well mindset.
Well, exactly. And I always say, too, you've got to enjoy the process. Mm-hmm. You can't be, I mean, it's a bit like golf, mm-hmm. you know. Golf is, first and foremost, I think, a social game. You're out there with three other people. You're having a pleasant walk. If you don't enjoy that process, you should quit. If your only concern is to get your score down, you know, to shave 2-3 points off your handicap, mm-hmm. well, you're going to be frustrated 8 times out of 10.
Yeah.
Guaranteed.
Yeah.
So you've got to have the attitude that I want to enjoy the game. And I think the same is true with language learning. I enjoy it immensely. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean that I don't recognize my shortcomings, let's say, in Russian, not to mention Korean.
Yeah.
but I enjoy the process. If I sit down tonight and do some Korean listening, reading, linking, I know I can enjoy it. Mm-hmm. But I am very dissatisfied with the level of my Korean. Mm-hmm. But I enjoy the process, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So, okay, well, there we dealt with the doldrums.
Yes, and, the doldrums.
And, yeah, we'd be very interested in hearing what other people think. What do they do when they get in the doldrums, mm-hmm. or hit a plateau, as you described it?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for listening.
Okay. Have a nice day.